Okay, so we're on week 7 of our study, Sound Minds. And again, we're looking at what a Titus 2 woman is to be, Titus 2 verses 3 through 5. I'm going to read it from the New American Standard so we can just continue to see how each one builds upon each one here. Older women likewise are to live priestly lifestyles. Hopefully since we've studied week 1, you're all striving to live a priestly lifestyle if you weren't before. They're not to be malicious gossipers. Hopefully you're letting the Lord get a hold of your tongue in a greater way. Nor should they have any addictions. Hopefully you're letting God deal with whatever idolatry is going on in your heart or idolatry that you have in your life. But it says that we should be teachers of beauty. And if you remember that, talking about the beauty of God, the beauty of creation, the beauty we see in one another, just beautiful things can only be found in Christ and God the Father and the Holy Spirit. They do wonderful, beautiful things, and we need to look for that beauty in one another. And it also says that we would train the younger women to love their husbands. Hopefully you're trying to phileo your husbands that we looked at a couple of weeks ago, to love them and respect them, even though at times we may feel they don't deserve it. God still tells us to walk in this way. To love children, not only your own children, but children in the body of Christ. And I'm sure Monday was a wonderful opportunity for many of those children to be loved on the outreach that we had. And now we're looking at to be of a sound mind. A sound mind. In this portion of scripture, Paul is calling older women to train younger women to have a sound mind. But when we look at what does a sound mind, what is that? In the Greek word, you have it there, sophronizo, I guess is how you say it. I'm not really sure how to pronounce that correctly. But it means to train or to encourage. It means to cause to be of a sound mind by training that would involve the cultivation of sound judgment and prudence, having wisdom. It's part of having a sound mind. It means having self-control, sober-minded, being discreet in our thinking, temperate, prudent, wise, disciplined, thoughtful, cool, calm, and collected. How many here fit in that description? Isn't it difficult to have a sound mind? It's hard, man. I mean, it is a battle. The battlefield really is here. I hate it. Why do you think that Paul had to address this issue? Well, we all think wrong thoughts, right? About God and about one another. We all worship the wrong things, right? I mean, we've seen that in our study. So far, the weeks we've studied, we believe lies. Don't we believe lies that contradict what God's word said? We have twisted emotional responses, don't we? Do we always respond in the right way emotionally? We do make unwise decisions, don't we, at times? We may wake up one morning and say, what did I do? What did I do? And we love selfishly, don't we, if we're honest with ourselves? That's why we need what Paul is talking about. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And God cares about everything that's going on in our mind every day, every moment of the day. And you see that in the Gospels again with Jesus. How many times did Jesus say, why are you thinking what you're thinking? Why are you thinking evil in your heart? They didn't even say anything, but he already knew what was going on in the mind. And God tells us to love him with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Because he knows in our mind, we're battling. There's a war going on. So it's important for us to train ourselves first how to have that sound mind so that we can then train others how to have a sound mind. Or I could say it this way, thinking biblically versus thinking the crazy thoughts that come into our head. How do we take our thoughts captive to Christ in those times? Because that's what we need to do we just need to do that if we want to have a sound mind. You know, that's the only way we will have peace. So I just want to look at four ways we can have a sound mind. I took this off of the study. Again, I just personalized it to just things that I'm learning, continue to learn, have learned. I mean, what's going on now and my life. And what we see is the first way we can have a sound mind, and it was in day one study, is learning Christ. They talked about, if you remember that. But what we have to see is learning Christ is not just having a head knowledge about who he is. Learning Christ is having a heart knowledge by experience, a personal relationship with him, who he is. He reveals himself to us. And we see the scripture that was used there. And I'm just going to pull two just highlights out of that. Ephesians 4:17 through 24. The Apostle Paul wrote, "This I say, therefore, in testifying the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk." I borrowed this the other day, and it sounds really weird. Okay. "You should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their hearts, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lewdness to work all uncleanness with greediness. But you have not so learned Christ, if indeed you've heard of him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus." I want you to catch that verse there. The truth is in Jesus. "That you put off concerning your former conduct the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness." And what we're looking at here in this first day of the study is learning Christ, the reality that every truth we can find can only be found in him, and the importance of renewing our mind with the lies we believe about. Well, he doesn't care. He's not good. He's not involved. He's not faithful. That's what the enemy lies to us, right? You can't trust them. And we have to renew our minds with the word of God, with the truth of who Jesus really is, and the experience we've had in our walk with him, that no, God is good, God is faithful, I can trust him. No matter what it looks like, no matter what people are saying, no matter the confusion, whatever, God is who he says he is. Jesus is who he says he is. That is my bedrock. That's the only thing I have to stand on. When we take our thoughts captive in that way to who Christ is and everything about him, you'll notice you have soundness of mind. You have peace in your heart, right? But when our mind is all over the place looking at this and what if this and that, and you feel like you're going to go crazy, right? So it's a war. We have to continually pull our mind back to, but God's word says that Jesus, he's the Alpha, the Omega. He's the beginning and the end. He's the way, the truth, and life. He's a good shepherd. He's everything I need. Yeah, but what if he doesn't take care of the situation or provide the finances? Have you ever lacked any good thing? No good thing will he withhold from those that walk uprightly. Scripture, 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 scripture. The truth of who he is. Renew your mind with God's word. That is one way of having a sound mind in the midst of whatever you're going through. And we know everyone here is going through something. All of us. But what are we doing without thinking? Where's it going? Do we sit around thinking, I don't know. Instead of opening the Bible and maybe getting in the Proverbs or the Psalms or whatever, anywhere in the Bible, and say, but God, you are good. You look at all the good you did to your people, even though they were rebellious and stiff-necked. You were faithful to your promises. You didn't fail. You never fail. The key to having a sound mind is to learn by heart, learn, experience, personal, daily, grow in the knowledge of who Christ is. And every trial he brings into our life is so that we will grow in the knowledge of who he is. And every time you come out of that trial, your testimony grows in the reality that you are faithful. And you realize, why in the world was I worrying about this and that and the other thing and blah, 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 that I had no control over anyway? But you had total control of the whole thing from the beginning to the end, even though it looked like it was falling apart. You held it all together. You held me together. Isn't that the greater miracle? I didn't fall apart, even though I thought I would, but he held me together. You learn in Christ. Learning in Christ is not just learning facts about him, like I said earlier, but having that intimate relationship with him. And we have to be renewed in the spirit of our mind daily. Daily, we have to be in the Word of God. And I know you hear that over and over and over here in this church. So the second way we can have a sound mind is by knowing God. Okay, learning Christ, knowing God. That was the second day talked about that. Knowing God helps us to have a sound mind. Proverbs 9 verse 10 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding." 1 Corinthians 1:30 says, "But of him you are in Christ, who became for us wisdom from God." Philippians 3 verse 8, Paul invested everything in his search for wisdom, and his desire was to know Christ. It just consumed him, that he just wanted to know him to the point that he forsook everything that this world had to offer and even what religion had offered him. He said, "I counted all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I've suffered the loss of all things, and count them as rubbish, that I might gain a knowledge of Christ." Colossians 2 verse 3 says, "In Christ are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge." We talk about God the Father, we talk about Christ his Son. They're equal. Jesus said, "If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. I and the Father are one." 1 Corinthians 2:7 through 16 says, "But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom of God, ordained before the ages for our glory, which none of the rulers of this age knew. For had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor has entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God." And verse 16 says, "But we have the mind of Christ." Meaning we can align our thoughts with the thoughts that Christ gave us in his Word. He's given us instruction on how we're to live, right? How we're to walk, how we're to love, how we're even to think and conduct ourselves in this world. And the more we know God in this intimate way, by knowing Christ and God the Father, and we start to revere who he is, everything about him, the wiser we'll be, and we'll have a sound mind in the midst of whatever we're facing, because we realize again, okay, God, you're sovereign. You're in control. Nothing can come to me unless it passes through your fingers first. We saw that with Job, right? So I've got to believe in the midst of it that you're doing good to me, even though I might not see the good right now. But your word says you cause all things to work together for good, the good, the bad, the ugly, for those who love God and to those who have been called according to his purpose. So I have to believe, God, you're good. Even though maybe right now don't seem good, but you're gonna bring good out of it. Because I love you. I am yours. And you promised to work this out in my life. You're working something in me that I need, obviously, because you're allowing this to come my way. So I'm just going to cling to you as I go through it. Because I know you're going to bring me out. You always bring me out. Maybe not in the time that I want, but you do bring me out. See, there's no fear in love. We read that in 1 John chapter 4, verse 18. But perfect love casts out fear. And how many here knows fear involves torment? Yes. It does. But he who fears, fear can be a little red flag waving, has not been made perfect in love. Red flag saying, you need to know God more. You need to know what he's like. You need to trust in his character. You need to grow in the knowledge of God. Be rooted and grounded in his love. Be able to comprehend with all the saints what's the height, the depth, the width, the length of the love of God that he has for us, his children. Let fear serve you in that way. To sink down deeper into God. We all have fear of the unknown, right? We all have fear of man. We all fear the future, don't we? We fear not having enough, don't we? We all fear the same things. That's what's so amazing. We all have the same fears, but no one wants to talk about them. Like Jeff was saying. We all fear the what ifs, right? They're all red flags that we need to grow in our intimacy with Jesus, the Son, and the Father. You know, I read this the other day and I was like, wow. It says, if there are thoughts in our mind that are not thankful, not focused on his goodness, not remembering God's constant mercy towards us, then they are sinful and have no place in us. And I was like, the more we grow in intimacy with the Father, the more peaceful I'm inside, right? You have testimony of this. What I'm teaching you, you have testimony. All of you in this room. We all have a measure of testimony of this reality, but we all need to grow more, right? All of us. That's why he allows the trials. He's helping us to grow. That's why he allows them. He wants us to grow. And I know it's painful and it hurts and you don't want to go through it. I don't want to go through it. But again, when you come out the other side, you're so thankful for what God was able to impart to you. The knowledge he was able to impart to you of himself. And it gives you a sounder mind for the next trial you're going into. Because trust me, so long as we're here on planet Earth, we are going to go through trial after trial after trial after trial till Jesus comes. We were talking on Sunday about the tract that they used to give out years ago, Jesus Loves You and Has a Wonderful Plan for Your Life. And then when things start going sour, where's the wonderful plan for your life? No, we're going to go through hardships. We're going to go through trials. We're going to suffer. Jesus said it. The way is narrow and it's difficult. We live in a fallen world with fallen people. We're a part of it. And we hurt one another. People hurt us, right? We need the Father. We need to know what he's like. Because that gives us the sound mind in the midst of the trials. Like, God, but you're good. This may not be good right now, but you are. You are. Wisdom and a sound mind are produced through a relationship with Christ and growing in the knowledge of God, basically, we're summing up. And what you might want to start doing, if some of you don't do this, you might want to keep a journal God's faithfulness to you over the many years that you've been walking with Him, so that when your mind is all over the place, you know, if you find yourself in the Bible, but you're just, the words, you're just not, you know how sometimes you could read and it's like, what did I just read? And even you could worship out loud and pray it out loud, but you still, you're not, you feel like you're not connecting somehow. What you could do is start a notebook, and there's an acronym, it's called CATS, okay, C-A-T-S. Under C, confession. What do I need to confess? Maybe sin in my heart. I'm not trusting God. I'm full of fear. I have worry. I have unbelief. God, I'm confessing. I know it's sin. I'm confessing this to you, whatever it is. Lord, I need a lot of grace today. I can't do this in my own strength. You have to give me the grace that I need. I'm humbling myself before you and acknowledging I can't do this. Whatever it is, just write it out. Then the next initial, adoration. Write out everything that's so wonderful about God and about Jesus. Usually when I get to that, I'm smiling because it's like, man, I just want to worship. I just want to stay there and just keep worshiping who God is, because it just flows out of your heart onto paper. Write it out. Then the next T, thanksgiving. And sometimes you'll find the adoration and the thanksgiving are blending together. Because you can't help, as you're worshiping Him, thanking Him at the same time that He is the way He is. And then the last part, supplication, where now you're bringing the needs, whatever those needs might be, of other people, or spiritual concerns you have, or practical needs, whatever it is. If you do this every day and then read it at the end of the week, what you've written, I'm telling you, it'll help you to have a sound mind, because you'll look at how good God is through prayers you're praying, through thanksgiving, through adoration, even through confession. Lord, thank you that you say, if I confess my sin, you're faithful and just to forgive me of my sin and cleanse me of all unrighteousness. You just see God's goodness in the midst of it, and you come back to your right frame of mind. It's like, why am I worried? Have you ever failed me? No. If I look back at all my books I've kept throughout the years and read them, the thread that holds it all together is He's faithful. He's faithful. Even when we're not, He's faithful. And you see that when you write things out. So a third way we can have a sound mind is by having hope in the midst of despair. How many of us have ever felt like we're in despair? What goes on in your mind in those times? You know, when we're battling with despair, because usually despair and depression can go hand in hand, and it is important to go get a physical by a doctor to make sure your thyroid is not out of whack, you don't have a low vitamin D level. I don't struggle with depression, but I've been telling Jeff, man, I'm tired. And I'm just feeling down. I don't know what it is. And I know my vitamin D level, they always put me on a supplement, medical supplement that the doctors, it never goes up. No matter how many times he puts it on me, he'll put it on me 3 months, I'm off of it, do the blood work, it's down. It doesn't go up. And my GI doctor says, I don't even know why he doesn't keep you on it. I'm like, I don't know either. So, but I knew something's off. But I couldn't put my finger on it. Well, I had blood work on Monday. My vitamin D level is very, very low. That explains it. So sometimes there is something going on physically. Go get blood work, check your thyroid, low vitamin D level. Could be a side effect from medication. We have people come into the counseling center on meds, then they're battling with these thoughts or depression, and it's the side effect from the med. And then they say, I'm going off of it. You know, because they know it is. They can feel it. They tell the difference after they go on it. If it's not a physical problem, then the depression can be a result of hopelessness or maybe self-pity, feeling sorry for self. And our minds can yield to depression when things seem hopeless, doesn't it? Mm-hmm. I mean, it does. Mm-hmm. I mean, we could look at it and say, why bother? I mean, why bother? This life stinks. there's nothing here. I don't even know if I want to stay here anymore. You know, that's how suicidal thoughts start coming. If you keep focusing in on the circumstances and there's no hope. And when we allow our minds to yield, because remember, we're looking at a sound mind, to yield to hopelessness, despair, depression, self-pity, whatever you want to call it. If we don't feel joyful, I mean, if we feel like the joy of the Lord has been sucked out of us, there's no joy. I mean, even though I was feeling that way, I still had joy in my heart. So it's kind of weird because you're feeling a certain way, but you still can have joy even though you're feeling a certain way. But usually if you're struggling with this, it could be you're allowing weeds to grow in your heart of worry, regret, fear, envy, or some other sin. So it's good to examine the heart. And assignment I like giving at the counseling center when I have people coming is to do a journal that asks what were the circumstances that led me to becoming depressed or sorrowful. Two or three sentences. What did I want, desire, or long for when I became depressed? What was my thinking when I became depressed? And the thinking and desires will expose what's really the root of the matter. Like, I just had someone today and we were talking and I just had her do it once. She only did one. And it was kind of neat because as I'm going through it, one word kept standing out in every sentence she wrote, and it was all feelings. She's coming for depression and she's off meds. She's not on meds anymore. She doesn't want to go back on meds, but it's all feelings. And I kept saying, you know what I noticed? Everything you have written down has to do with feeling, 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 feeling. I said, you know what the issue here is? It's a matter of faith. You're allowing your feelings to dictate and control your heart, mind, and emotions, and you're not putting your faith in what God has said. And she was blown away because this is our second session. She said, that's my issue. So she came in for that, depression, but she's seeing the issue really is not depression, it's faith. She doesn't believe what God says. That's the real battle. So we have to look at, in those times, what's going on in my thinking? What's going on in my heart? What do I want? And as I look at that, what does God's word have to say about that? Because then, for her, I gave her assignment, well, remember the handout, the 40 lies women believe? I said, what I want you to do, keep doing that journal. But bring in that, and I want you to look at, are you believing a lie that is not true? If you're truly born again, a child of God, and what has God's word said about that? Because you need a sound mind. You need a sound mind in this matter. And it's a blessing because she's doing a homework. I mean, she's diligent, so I know God's going to really help her in this. But our thoughts, if we allow them, will feed lies to our heart, and our heart will overflow with whatever lies we are believing if we're not careful. I mean, think about that. Have you ever done that? Believing a lie, and then it flows out of the heart, whatever we're believing, but then they become vain imaginations and speculations. Right? Because those lies have exalted themselves above who Christ is, above who God is, and they need to be torn down. They need to come down. If we want a sound mind, we got to be the one to cast it down by taking our thoughts captive to what God says about himself and the reality of Jesus in our lives, who we know him to be. His faithfulness to us. We have a choice to continue to dwell on the hopeless thoughts or play out each awful possibility in our minds, or we can choose to trust the Lord and actively think biblically. Get that. Actively think biblically. It's not passively think biblically. We got a war at this. This is a war. I mean, I had a a battle just before I preached this, because that's why I sat in the room in the front, because I knew, let me pray and get with God. And finally, I just told Jeff, you got to come in and pray for me. And he said, look what you're talking about. I'm not surprised you're going through this battle right now. And then I texted a dear warrior saint of mine, an intercessor that you know her, 30 years ago. I said, pray now. The warfare is heavy. Pray now. When I came out of the room, Jeff said, you're better, aren't you? I was like, yeah. But I wasn't before. We got a battle. We have to be active. We can't be passive and just sit and say, oh, it's gonna pass. No, you gotta fight. Sometimes you have to have people praying. You gotta fight. That's the thing, we don't wanna fight. But if you want a sound mind, you have to fight. You know, reality is, as we see all the brokenness, all the sorrow that we're facing, living in this fallen and broken world, we can still hope in God, can't we? We can. I look out my window, the counseling center, every day. I see sorrow and brokenness. Every day, sorrow and brokenness. And sometimes it's overwhelming. But I have to hope in God. God, this is not too hard for you. You have us here for a reason. I remember what I was like. I remember what my husband was like. God, if you could do what you did in our lives, these people aren't too hard for you. Hope in God in the midst of the darkness, in the midst of what you're going through. That's what the psalmist said. If you remember in Psalm 42 verses 5 and 11 and Psalm 43 verse 5, he asks, why are you cast down on my soul? And why are you disturbed within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him, for he's the help of my countenance. He had to write that two times in Psalm 42 and one more time in Psalm 43. You think he was struggling? He had to remind himself. We got to do the same thing. We have to do the same thing. Faith and hope feed each other. The greater our faith, the more hope we'll have. The more hopeful we are, the more our faith will grow. Did you get that? It's kind of a tongue twister. Faith and hope, they feed off of each other. You see that in that psalm. Even though he felt a certain way, he still expressed faith and hope in God, and it was feeding off of one another. And the more faith we have, the more hope we have, the more we grow in the knowledge of who Christ is, the more we grow in the knowledge of who God is. We have faith for a situation, no matter how difficult it might be. We have faith. God is able. He can do it. He can do it. We hold faith for that because we know who he is, what he can do. It's not impossible, it's not hopeless, it seems that way, but it's not. God is on the throne, he's doing something. He's doing something. The more hopeful we are that, yes, Lord, yes, I'm not gonna lose heart, I'm not gonna grow weary, I'm gonna persevere in this no matter what, I'm gonna persevere to the end. You think about a runner that's sprinting in a marathon. Well, you just don't quit, right? You got to pass that baton and keep going. You want to get to that finish line. You want to get the prize, right? Well, we got to be that way. Keep running, keep running. And yeah, we get tired and we need people to pick us up. Our mind is like, oh, I don't know if I could take one more thing. But that's why we need one another, to encourage one another, to pray with one another. And then we know each other's story and we see, man, if you made it through, well, God can get us through. I just have to be patient. That P word that I don't like. I gotta be patient. We all want it. We're Americans. microwave. Everything is fast food, quick, now. What's taking so long? It's been a minute, hurry up. What's taking so long, right? Online, in Walmart, when they're talking about the weather, it's like, come on, I got places to go, people to see. What are you talking about? Anyone else feel that way? We gotta be patient. God doesn't work on our timetable. But in the midst of the waiting, we have to have a sound mind. Otherwise, we'll feel like, I'm gonna go crazy. So again, take your thoughts captive to God's word. Hope gives us courage and makes us strong in the midst of all sorts of trials. So a question to ask yourself, if you're struggling with depression, is, well, what is your hope resting in? Because if your hope is not in God, that's not good. Oh, my prayer, where you just sent me a message here. If it's not in God, of course it seems hopeless. But if it's in God, there is hope. There's hope. And lastly, we can have a sound mind. Day 4, we saw how worry and anxiety rob us from having a sound mind, but we can have a sound mind by applying the scriptures that we're going to look at in a second here. God's word, it's amazing to me how much he talks about worry. Worry, being worried and anxious. Worried and anxious. Fear not. How many times? Don't worry. Don't fear. Fear not. And we see that another common enemy of a sound mind is worry, is anxiety. And again, if you struggle with like panic or whatever, make sure it's not a physical condition. I remember when my dear sister here first came to me for counseling, she couldn't even leave the house. She was bad. She couldn't work, nothing. The panic attacks were horrible, right? It was bad. And sometimes you have to, again, go back, make sure it's not physical, get your heart checked, because if you have heart problems, you can get panic attacks. It's thyroid, if you have your, my brother has hyperthyroid, so his heart rate sometimes like is 120. Yeah, it's bad. Thyroid again can cause that hypertension. Menopausal symptoms. I know when I first started going through menopause, my heart was racing and I didn't know what was wrong. I thought I had heart problems because heart disease runs in my family. I was like, great, I'm gonna have a heart attack. And I found out it was just my hormones were all out of whack because I was going into menopause. Or again, it could be a side effect for some medication you're on. But if you get checked down and everything's fine, then you have to look at, okay, am I anxious because I'm worried about things that I can't control? And what you remember, what we think triggers feelings. Based on those feelings, we start acting a certain way. So the more we keep thinking on those anxious thoughts instead of having a sound mind, of course, the body's going to react. Panic attacks. That was the story that she can stand up and testify to, because that's what was happening for her. She was having panic attacks. Maybe we're anxious because we feel like we're losing control of a certain situation. It's out of my control. What am I going to do? I got to do something. 2 Timothy, I want to look at all these scriptures. And as we read through these scriptures, just notice the effect it has on you, in your mind and in your heart. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7 says, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. God has given that to us, the ability to have a mind that is controlled by the Word of God and the Holy Spirit. Romans 8:15 says, for you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. And what I'm trying to get into the habit of doing, what I told you with that little acronym, the adoration, I was trying to start Abba, Father, because I want that to get in me. You are my Abba, Father. And if you're my Abba, Father, I know you're going to take good care of me. I don't have to worry. I really don't. If my mind is worrying, something's, my focus is off. It's not where it needs to be. Because Jesus said in Matthew 6, 25 to 32, he said, I say to you, don't worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Which of you by worrying can add one cubit or one inch to his stature or his height? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now, if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father, your Abba, Father, knows that you need all these things. And the rest of the scripture says, but seek first the kingdom of God. Don't let these other things be a distraction to you that you're not seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Seek him first. Let him take care of all of this for you. God provides. He does provide. Matthew 10, 29 through 31, Jesus said, are not two sparrows sold for a copper coin, and not one of them falls to the ground apart from your Father's will? But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Do not fear, therefore. You are more value than many sparrows. That's one of the reasons why I love taking walks, because I hear the birds, I see the birds, they're so beautiful. Some of them have bird feeders all in the front of my house, and it's just a reminder, God, you take care of them. Why am I worried about my future? If Jeff were to die and I don't have no 401, what is that 401k? I even forgot what it's called. I used to have it in the hospital, not anymore. I don't have that. I don't have a bank account I can rely on for my future. What am I going to do, God? Well, he's either true to his word or not. He says he takes care of widows and orphans, right? So it's an opportunity for me to see, how is he going to take care of this widow if that was ever going to happen? He's not a liar. I know plenty of women that were in that state and God never forsook them, was failed them. So why am I worrying about the future, which I don't even know if I'm going to live that long? You see how we are with our mind, where we go in our mind? And we don't have a sound mind. God wants us to have a sound mind. Just focus on today. Not promise tomorrow. Just focus on today. See, 1 Peter 5, 7 tells us to cast all our cares, referring to worry, fear, and anxiety, on him, because he cares for you. He really does care. And when our mind is all over the place with worry, fear, and anxiety, we got to bring our mind back to this truth, this reality, everything that we've read here in these scripture verses, because this is reality, what we're reading. And I love this. I always give this to people that come to me for counseling, that this was God's anti-anxiety prescription for us before man came up with a pill. From Philippians 4, verses 4 through 9, tells us, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Why do you think Paul had to say that twice? We got to fight fear with praise. Rejoice in him in the midst of the fear, who he is. You are God alone. I love that song. From before time began, you are on the throne. You are God alone. Right now, in the good times and the bad, you are God alone. Meditate on that. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Instead of worrying and being fearful, we can choose to be glad and rejoice, right? When we're confused, overwhelmed, or afraid, we can write down all the things we can praise God for. That's why I love writing. Because you can write it down and then speak it out. And then it just flows out of you. I mean, when we come together, it just pours out. I mean, you can't contain it. It just pours out of you. Praise gives us something to fill our thoughts with. You get that? If you're worried or you're fearful, praise gives us something to fill our thoughts with. Rejoice in the Lord. Always. And again, I say rejoice. God's prescription for us. Let your gentleness be known to all men. Man, why did I had to think about that? Why did Paul have to say that? Well, I know when I'm worried and fearful, I could get short. Or how about you? I can get short. It's like, what's your problem? Calm down. Don't we get short, harsh in our tone sometimes? Let your gentleness be known to all men. Why? Because the Lord's at hand. He's there. He's in the midst. That fiery furnace. Remember the fiery furnace, the lion's den in the book of Daniel? Where was God? He was there with them, right in the midst. Right in the midst. He's sovereign. He's in control. The Lord is at hand. He said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. Even when you pass through the water, when you go through the fire, if you're in the valley, if you're on the mountaintop, wherever you are, if you're sleeping in bed, sitting in that chair, I see you. And I'm with you. I'm with you. You're not in this by yourself. I'm with you. You can lean on me. I'll give you the comfort you need. I will be your comforter. And then it continues to say, be anxious for nothing. See, God knew we would be anxious, otherwise he wouldn't have put this in the Bible for us. He knew we were going to struggle with this. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, again, that, remember the red flag I talked about earlier? Red flag. We need to grow in our love for him if we find that we're fearful. Well, this is another red flag. We're anxious, worried. Red flag, I need to go to God in prayer. I need to talk to my Father about this. Just be real and express what's on my heart to him. And at times, you got to go to someone else and tell them, too. I'm really struggling. I'm having a hard time with this. I need prayer. So in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And as you do that, the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. It's not enough just to do that. Because you might do that and find my mind is still wandering all over the place. I just spent an hour with the Lord in my prayer closet. And I came out, it's like, what, my mind is still all over the place. God, help me. Help me, please. Well, then he continues to tell us something we have to do again. Finally, brother, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are good report, if there's anything virtuous, and anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. So again, if we want a sound mind, we have to do this. Oh, I just got an email from Desiring God. It says, lay aside all your fears. No kidding. You think God's saying something to us? I just got it. It said, lay aside all fears. From John Piper's group. God doesn't want us to fear. Lay it aside. So we have to meditate. We have to replace that fearful thinking with biblical thinking. But again, you can't just stop there. We always leave out verse 9 that says, the things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, the Apostle Paul was saying, these do. Or some translations will say, practice these things and the God of peace will be with you. So we have to practice this whenever we're fearful, anxious, worried about anything, if we want to have a sound mind. We have to practice what we just read in these verses from verses 4 through 9. And as we practice it over and over again, we're taking our thoughts captive to what God says we should be thinking on. Again, in Psalm 37, verses 3 through 8, there was a homework assignment there for you to list what we should seek to do when we're tempted to worry. And I'll just read that psalm, and I'm going to move on because we're almost out of time here. It says, trust in the Lord and do good, dwell in the land, and feed on his faithfulness. Feed on his faithfulness. Writing down all those ways he's been faithful, you can feed on that. You can feed on his faithfulness in the scriptures. See how he was with the children of Israel throughout the wilderness. They didn't lack anything for 40 years. It's amazing. Their shoes didn't even wear out. Walking around in the wilderness. Amazing. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and he'll give you the desires of your heart. You'll realize it's him I need. I need him. And then he becomes your desire. It's like, I need him. I just want him. I don't want anything else. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. He shall bring forth your righteousness as the light and your justice as the noonday. Rest in the Lord. We've got to learn how to rest in the Lord. Not to be anxious, fearful. Rest and wait patiently for him. Do not fret because of him who prospers in the way. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Do not fret. It only causes harm. See, God's always looking out for us. He's like, don't go there. You're just going to mess yourself up, basically. Just rest. And you know how we like to take that scripture verse in Psalm 46 where it says, be still and know that I am God? I saw this on my cousin. She's a minister. And she put out what the meaning of be still is in the Hebrew. Do you know what it means? It means shut up.
It's aggressive.
Shut up. And know that I am God. How we take scriptures out of context is amazing. Or interpret it the way we want to. And I remember when she wrote that down, I was like, wow, I want to post that everywhere. Shut up and know that I am God. But we need to sometimes just be quiet. Be still. Let him be God in the situation. He's orchestrating it all. He really is. He just wants us to have our hands like this, hands wide open. Hands wide open. Isaiah 26:3 says, you will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. So again, we have to look at, where is my focus? Again, red flag. If I don't have peace, it means my mind has drifted off of the Lord. And maybe onto the circumstances, onto what I'm seeing in the natural. And I got to get my mind back where it needs to be, on the Lord, if I want to have a sound mind in the midst of this trial that I'm walking through. Having our minds fixed on Christ rather than having our minds focused on our problems or fears is key. It's key. And it's a battle. It is a battle. We have to engage, and you saw that in the last day of the study, we have to engage in an active fight against worry, fear, and any other negative thoughts about tomorrow, the future, whatever it might be for any of us. Because what will happen is we'll wind up being so paralyzed that we won't do nothing. You know, when God says, I want you to go love your neighbor, we're just paralyzed in the corner. And we're not extending ourselves. And when we don't realize, as we go and love our neighbor, we're free. Because we forget about ourselves. I mean, we just totally forget about ourselves. Because we're caught up with one another and what they're going through. So what we saw in the last day of the study, we are in a spiritual battle, but God places the responsibility on us to have a sound, disciplined mind. And daily we have to fight an active, again, it's an active war in our minds, taking our thoughts captive to the Word of God over and over and over again, practicing these things, to think on the things that He tells us to think on in His Word, and to remember His faithfulness in our lives, or maybe His faithfulness in the lives of our loved one or someone that we know. Don't allow fear to feed your soul, but offer praise to God. Just as a recap, praise will push away that fear. It does. And gratitude is the strongest weapon for the war in our minds, giving thanks in all things. For this is the will of the Father. Gratitude is the strongest weapon for the war in our minds. So if you write down Thanksgiving, things you're thankful for in the midst of the trial, and then go back and you read it every day and add to it every day, you see, God's given you a grateful heart in the midst of what you're going through. And you want to praise Him because you know it's His grace that He's helping you. Offer praise to God in the middle of your suffering, even when you don't feel like it or you don't see anything good happening. Rejoice in the midst of your trials. Remember all the times God has brought you out of the fire, how many times He's lifted you up out of many trials. And thank Him for the trials and for what will come out of the trials, because Thanksgiving is a form of worship and praise. It's a form of worship and praise. And if we practice these things, we will have a sound mind. Yeah, you'll have your struggles, but if you bring your mind back to where it needs to be, you'll find you will start having a sound mind in the midst of whatever it is you might be going through. And Lord, I thank You because I know that Your word is true and that Your word does not return void in our lives. If we do practice it, Lord, in practical ways and practical situations, God, You really do help us in our thinking and help us to overcome many of these areas that we looked at tonight. And I just want to pray for anyone in here that has really been struggling in their thinking, God, that this truth that has gone forth would just set them free from the thoughts that they had before coming here today, Lord. And as they leave here, I pray that we would all continue to practice these things, and that as we learn to walk in soundness of our minds for ourselves, we would be able to help others that are battling in the same way that we battle, with the same fears and the same thoughts and the same everything. Lord, we just all are the same inside. But I'm so grateful that You have made a way of escape for every one of us, Lord. And I pray that we would walk in that freedom and walk in that victory. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen.